Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. Find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people supporting me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of Filthy MTG Casuals, Couch J-Row, Geek Beerly, and Scoop Phase for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And I'm currently selling MTG in Quarantine branded playmats over to Inked Gaming. That's inkedgaming.com. Got two awesome versions, both the full color as well as the grayscale logo. They both look awesome. You're going to want one for you and for all your friends. You definitely do. I'm telling you, just go get them. Seriously. And you can go find those at the link tree in the episode description. Any purchase you make supports the channel, and I greatly appreciate it. And again, you can find that over at Inked Gaming, inkedgaming.com, searching MTG in Quarantine. So, today's episode of the podcast is live from DreamHack Dallas 2022. Whoop, whoop, whoop. You're probably getting sick of these, but at this point, you know, hearing me talk about Dallas, but... You know, it's been a great convention, had a great couple days, met a lot of awesome people, fellow creators, and I can't wait to do the wrap-up episode at some point here after I get home. But anyway, yeah, so today's episode is going to be another in the Noah Brewer series where I bring awesome fellow creators and members of the community on to talk about how they build their personal EDH and Commander decks. So today's victim, I mean guest, is Jaffer MTG. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, we met last night at some of the open play with Bobby, Veggie, and a couple of the awesome people.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah. So yeah, before we get started here, Jaffer, could you give a quick shout out to all the streaming stuff that you do?
Yeah. So I'm a Magic the Gathering Arena content creator. So all my content is arena based with some Modo. I stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/Jaffer, JAFFER. And I do some YouTube content as well, a little bit. On YouTube, I'm Jaffer MTG. Jaffer is taken. And if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm Jaffer MTG on Twitter as well. I do play Commander sometime in my free time at my LGS. Played a bit here at DreamHack. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. Met some great people. So super excited.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely just dumpstered myself, LK, and... Someone from the community here a couple hours ago with Victus as Mahdi, actually. That was... Warren Klux is a brutal card, I'm going to say.
Yep, that definitely is. I felt a little bad. I felt like that game was prolonged a little too long.
Hey, I would have won on my next turn, so it's like it would have ended somehow. You just beat me to the punch, so that's all good. I mean, we did have a good game.
Yeah,
so
it was fun.
It was time to end that one, anyway. But yeah, so to basically how this is going to work is I'm going to ask you a couple of questions just about, you know, help us and, you know, myself and the listeners really understand your personal process for building EDH decks. Obviously, everyone's a little bit different. I know I talk about this personally all the time on the show in various ways. Mm-hmm. And I'm always really curious about picking everyone else's brain to just kind of know what makes them tick when they try to build an EDH deck, because there are just infinite ways you can do this. Because it's not like the constructive formats as much, where you can literally do anything you want. Mm-hmm. And it's viable as long as you believe it's viable. So, yeah, really... When you sit down to start a new EDH deck, just walk us through the process here. Do you start typically with the commander? You say, hey, I pulled this card, or, you know, I bought this card, et cetera, et cetera. Or do you really start more with, like, a deck, an idea, a concept? We'll start there.
Okay. So it's been different for me for almost each time when I build an EDH deck. So, for example, two times, my two current EDH decks I have... I have Victus Amadi the Dire, and I have Jet Mirror. I forgot the rest of the name. The new Capenna, Cabaretti Demon.
Demon thing. Yeah.
Yeah. When I pulled those two, I pulled them both actually at pre-release each, and Victus, I pulled that like when I pulled it at pre-release, I thought like, oh, this is awesome. I want to build this, and I just tried building around, obviously, the ability it does, like an all-permanents deck. So I just, like, basically look at my collection, what I have, what I own, and try to build with what I own currently. Just try to save money. Because Magic is an expensive game. It's an expensive hobby.
Definitely is if you keep buying those Warren Clax cards, yeah. Which I saw you do earlier.
So... Generally, when I go to build my EDH decks, I usually, if I have a legendary creature I like and I enjoy what it does, or like just reading about it, I will try to build out of my own collection first. Then I'll look at like the showcase or binders at my LGS, and then see like cards that would work for it in there. And then at that point, if I can't think of anything and if nobody has any suggestions, I'll like take a peek on EDH Rec. I try to use that for the last. But I will generally use it for to get ideas or like if I don't have like a win con besides combat damage, then I'll look for something there.
Sure.
At times in the past, at my local scene, we have I'm not in it anymore. I used to be before I became a content creator. I was in it all the time. It's an EDH league essentially.
Yep,
like,
yep.
It's like they all vote on a budget. Empty goldfish for like how much the deck needs to be. They vote on a theme as well. So when it came to that made like building very interesting to try to figure out. Like you have to be like say $50 of what goldfish tells you. So that really restricted the building and it made it more interesting than I feel like the way that I generally usually build decks.
Yeah, that's really cool. Because again, it's. Having that giant box of cards is always nice to be able to pick through because, I mean, I personally, and I can't speak for you, but I just love like collecting weird cards. It's like, I feel like I could use this. Doesn't mean I'll ever use them, but I want to hold on to them for something because there's something about it that it, like really sticks in my brain. It's like, I could use this. So it's always interesting to hear someone else who goes through that same process where you're not necessarily just going out and looking for specific cards. You kind of want to try it organically. It helps when helps to have that large collection,
yes.
Really.
So I actually have that same concept of how you feel like, oh, this looks interesting. I want to use this eventually, and like you toss in the box for later. I have that same kind of thought process when it comes to Modern or Pioneer.
Okay, yeah.
And then they end up sitting there forever. And then like, oh, I'll try this. And it just turned out to be terrible. But like, it's always fun to try to do those kind of things.
Sure,
no
sure.
Matter like what, like if it's EDH, Pioneer, Standard, or any other format, it's always fun to try to figure out those kind of like neat things.
For sure. I mean, that's really what keeps me in EDH is trying to find those bizarre interactions or, you know, just trying to pull some random BS out of a hat, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've really talked about you finding the commander you want to start with, let's just kind of walk through the rest of the deck process. So obviously you're picking from your collection, so there is a finite number of things you can pull from, right?
Yes.
That may fit with that legend, but walk me through the process, or walk us through the process, I should say, and just kind of explain what you're looking for first, and then just basically walk us through to basically the end of the first draft version.
Okay. So now, of how I build my decks now, I will generally try to, I'm sure, I feel like a lot of people probably do this as well, break down each part of the deck for, like, what I need of, like, X amount of pieces. Like, for example, for this whole trip, I built my Jetmir deck for this trip.
Okay.
So when I built it, I actually built it, like, literally a week ago. I went through and tried to figure out how many pieces of ramp do I need. I have, like, 5 mana dorks in it, and I have, like, three spells for ramping, and then 2 artifacts. So I was, like, trying to figure out, like, okay, how many lands do I need? How many pieces of ramp do I need?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I go down into usually the creature slot of, like, it's an aggro deck. So
sure.
I got to figure out, like, what utility creatures and, like, just what beaters, basically, I would want. And then from there, going to, like, drawing cards and, like, other just utility spells, usually. So I kind of try to break it down by groups.
Yeah,
I used to be just all over the place and then just had, like, 2 iron cards. Like, what do I do?
Battle of Wits deck. That's what you do with that. I mean, totally not legal in non-rule zero commander, but it's like, we're doing this, right? We are totally doing that. But... yeah, so it's really interesting to hear you say that you have the process for being able to like the jobs, because I have a good friend, Coach J-Row, on Twitter. He's been on the podcast a lot, and you know, he has a system like the 10-5-5 that he always talks about, where he wants to have like 10 removal, you know, five mass removal, five spot removal, you know, 10 pieces of ramp, things like that. And it's interesting to hear that you're also kind of subscribing to that theory. It's like you're trying to fit kind of this template in a way, is to at least build like the building blocks of the deck, right? Obviously, I'm much more chaotic. I'm the guy who goes with like two board wipes, because like you know, if I lose, I lose. But what the heck? But this, yeah, it's really interesting to just hear that. It's that you're another person who really likes the templating, and just like, okay, you're gonna really think, what is this job? What job does this card do?
Yes.
And it's like, how can this best fit the deck? Because again, with Jetmir, because I just got dumpstered with this last night, honestly. Over by Andrew at Elder Dragon Skyplander. I was playing with him and Casual Jake. And yeah, that was a fun game, except until the time I got run over by a bunch of tokens. Well, actually, no, the Halo Fountain is what got me.
Okay.
But I think I would have died to Jetmir had a Halo Fountain not been out there. But anyway, yeah, it's just really good way to just be able to boost all your creatures up there. So again, yeah, just finding ways to be able to get a whole bunch of creatures out there and just run everybody over. Seems like a very interesting deck that's kind of up my alley. I probably built a lot differently, but it's just kind of one of those malleable commanders that I like talking about. In my Lightning Build series, for the listeners out there who know what I'm talking about, it's like I like flexible commanders where you can just kind of do whatever in the heck you want with them. It's fun. Yeah, so now that we've really talked about you, you find the pieces you need, you really build the deck, you have your pile of cards, you have your first deck kind of concept. What... I mean, it's kind of hard to ask this question. It's like, what changes might you make over the course of time? Are you changing maybe the concept of the deck, or are you just changing out some cards in there that maybe are underperforming?
So when it comes to that, generally, when it comes to like brewing any kind of deck, no matter like what kind of format, like it, for me, after I have to play the deck, obviously,
sure.
For like maybe 1-2 games. After that, like, oh, this card just doesn't feel like it does do anything. So just after that, like, for example, what's the 4-mana card? Ishkana, I think it's from Theros Beyond Death. Whenever an opponent casts an instant sorcery, you make a 1/2 spider.
Oh, yeah. Sad thing is, I should know this because I love that card, and I used to have it in a couple of decks, and now I'm really blanking. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to forget. Oh, man. And you see, people on the other end here always know what I'm talking about. And I remember the card. I cannot remember the name. Arrasta the Web. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Ishkana is completely different. Yeah. A different card. I was thinking
about, but, Shadow Spider, yeah.
Yeah, but that card, for example, like after playing the Jetmir deck a couple times, like that card's like it came up a couple times, and it's like by the time, for example, like, oh, I cast this in like it was turn 6 or 7, I cast this 2 times, I cast it. It did nothing.
Yeah.
And just feels like, well, I probably better to replace it with something else, differently, completely different. But like, I just generally, I need to play the deck, and after playing a couple times, just make those couple changes. If I were to put more time into this deck, I probably would make a bit more changes. For example, the deck you played against me, Vivictus. I've been working on that deck since the card came out, and changes with that deck have constantly been happening, and usually just... The whole premise of it is just to be a good value-based deck that just beats face and eventually taxes my opponents that I just win in a couple turns.
Yeah.
And, like, over time, like, just worth working on that, I always had the issue for when I didn't have tax pieces, and I always had the issues that people just, they got rid of all my stuff. And just over time added, after a course of, like, several weeks after that, I added the tax pieces and, like, just to generally look, sorry, I'm kind of off track, going off track. So going back to your question, I'm sorry, with that, if it's not helping support the whole concept of the deck, then with that one single card or a group of cards, then I will look into replacing them.
Okay. Just for some context here, you did drop a defense grid, which pretty much won you the game just because none of us could really interact with that and Vorinclex especially. It's like, if we... I mean, it's not to say we didn't have mana for it, but all of a sudden it really costs us to remove one of your pieces. So, yeah, it was painful. But, you know, it's brutally efficient, and that's really what works about it. That's the beauty of that deck. So, yeah, now that we've really walked through this, I mean, you have mentioned the two decks that you built. Let's kind of look into the future here. Typically, I'll ask guests if they have a new deck that they want to talk about, but since we've already talked about both of the decks you have, let's kind of... Maybe is there another commander on the horizon you're kind of interested in looking at, want to talk a little bit about here?
So generally I don't play too much EDH. Maybe I'll play, as of lately, actually, I've been playing at least once a week, and it's like two or three games.
Yep.
With my LGS. It's usually after FNM. I really enjoy Golgari. Golgari is my favorite guild out of all of them, and I like the mechanic of, or the ability of, what's it called? It came out in the second time we went to Innistrad.
Delirium, yes. Okay.
I was thinking, like, what if I tried just making a Golgari value Delirium deck? And I think that's the commander. Ishgana, I think that's the name of it.
Yeah.
The spider that has Delirium, when it enters, you do something.
Everybody, you create spider tokens, and then you can, has an activate ability, you can make everyone lose a bunch of life,
It's something like that. But like for example, Grim Flayer, like that card really interests me, and like things like Abrupt Decay, Assassin's Trophy, and stuff. Just a lot of good cards that are in those colors. So my thought process of like is if I make another commander deck, it's just gonna be Golgari, Delirium, good value stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I have a personal deck with Zoni, Thousand-Eyed, where I really like the Undergrowth mechanic, and I think that was the, was that the third trip, I think, to Ravnica?
Yes.
Yeah. So
The return to Ravnica.
Yeah. Yeah. So I understand exactly where you're going with that. It's like, just fill the graveyard up with a bunch of creatures. Like, it's the only time you're ever going to see Walking Ballistic cast for zero just to get in the graveyard. But it's like, I will do it.
Yeah.
Just for fun things. But yeah, graveyard shenanigans are fun. I know I've talked about being Golgari Mage for a long time, even though I kind of swore off it for a while, because I just couldn't find a deck that stuck. And now I have a couple ones that really, really speak to me again. So it's good to be back in the guild and meet a fellow Golgari Mage there, because I've kind of dallied over in Boros more recently, because I just really like the swingy, attacky things. But yeah, Golgari's always been like right close to the heart, right? So, anyway, thank you so much, Jeff, for taking the time to talk to me today. Obviously, we've been hanging out for the last couple hours here at DreamHack Dallas. Again, huge thanks to the DreamHack folks for allowing us to be here, for allowing me to be able to record these episodes for y'all, bring on awesome guests who I normally wouldn't have actually met or even potentially talked to outside of Twitter to actually be able to connect and, you know, be able to make these episodes possible. It sounds like a PBS pledge break, but it's true. It really is. It's like, this is all made possible because of everyone out there listening, and then everyone in the Magic community who I've run into and become friends with, instant friends with, over the last couple of days. It's been really awesome. And again, for everybody, I'm really excited to just do my wrap-up episode, because it's going to be a lot of just like random talking about, you know, different games and just different experiences for everyone who wasn't able to be here. So, and definitely keep an eye out on the Twitter and the Instagram for all the pictures when I do all the uploads on that. But anyway, Jaffer, yeah, again, just give a quick shout out to your stream again, that so that the great people out there can find your stuff. Because seriously, you said last night that someone at the concert here, they had a band called Motionless and White out here doing kind of the headliner for the Saturday night stuff, and you actually ran into someone who's actually recognized you in the crowd. That's really amazing.
Yeah, like they just walked up to me and just said, Hi Jeffer, I'm a fan, I watch your streams all the time, and then they shook my hand and they walked away like right away. They were nervous. I didn't get a chance to talk to them. I wish I got a chance to talk to them more.
Yeah,
but it was awesome.
That is too bad. Yeah, normally this is where I wrap up, but since we're at DreamHack, what the heck? I mean, we're not going to be able to talk about this again in the creator studio. So, yeah, what's the experience been like here at DreamHack? You know, what's really been your favorite part, and what's maybe something that you didn't get a chance to do since we're kind of getting towards the last hours of this whole thing? You know, like, what is something that maybe you wish you'd been able to do if you could go back a couple of days?
So I guess I wish I would be able to, like, play more events, I guess. I've been just hanging out. Like, just, I've been having fun hanging out with everybody, but just doing more events. Like, I'm a big fan of Pioneer. It's my favorite format. And I guess there's actually two Pioneer events a day, and I only thought there was one. So I just played one so far, and some other people wanted to do, like, another draft. We did an on-demand draft for the new Baldur's Gate set, actually.
Nice.
Which is very interesting from coming out of more of, like, a constructed,
kind of a regular limited format.
Like, it was very odd to draft in a four pod instead of an eight pod.
Yeah.
But Just basically just more events and just get go find more people to hang out and talk to and meet more people. Like it feels similar to when I went to Vegas for the Channel Fireball event, but obviously that was more magic over there.
Oh, sure.
While here it's like everything, which is it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I still feel bad that I wasn't able to go to the Vegas event, but yeah, it sounds like a lot of cool stuff went down there, and just this is kind of a nice little taste to just see, you know, where Magic is compared to some of the other esports, especially just kind of see how, unfortunately, how kind of a small community we are, but that's also a good thing. It's like we can also really connect on a similar level, and there's really no barriers here. I really like just. You know, for as many challenges as we have for being a small community, especially, you know, I mean, you wouldn't think Magic: The Gathering would be a small community, right? Because just millions of people play. But when you really get in, like, the content creator spheres, like both of us are, is that we kind of all know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Having been on Twitter, we've interacted before in many other ways. Like, we've been on streams with each other or, you know, you're friends with some of my friends on there. So that's how I met you. And like how I just introduced you to Casual Jake just like an hour ago. Or, you know, I would have, at least. Unfortunately, he was busy, but I'll try to make sure that happens at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just the fact that we can connect and really, you know, talk shop about this.
It's really awesome. Like, it's awesome. It's a hobby that we all love to play. Even if it's like a little bit different for each person, it's a hobby we all get to enjoy and spend time together and play it. Play an awesome game, card game. A children's card game that we all enjoy.
Yeah, and I feel like, and it may be me going out on a limb to say this, but it's definitely been a different experience here than at a standard Command Fest used to be, or anything like a Magic Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, we're really just kind of a small area. We're the small fish in this particular pond to the Counter-Strike and the Rocket League and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, again, that's where most of the people who are here, like those standing in front of us at the Creator Studio in line for something over there, or like all the lines we've seen for all the meet and greets for like the Counter-Strike teams and all that. Just we're small like that, and it's kind of nice to just be able to have that anonymity too. It's like we can be to ourselves, but we can also see all this other really cool stuff. We've had this opportunity, like for instance, I would not be recording this episode at a Magic Fest or at a Command Fest because they don't have those kinds of facilities here, but DreamHack, they do. Because it's not just us who are here. Mm-hmm. It's streamers, it's just creators from all over doing all sorts of media, and the fact that we're able to really be here, be invited too, has really been the kind of a cherry on top. It really helps us feel validated. Like, you know, it's not just that we're enjoying what we do, but also it's like there's some kind of like sweet little fun payoff that we even get out of it. Even if just a couple of days hanging out in like the Creator Lounge and, you know, getting free monsters and whatnot. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's been great here. I've enjoyed it. Like, honestly, like I feel like they taking care of the creators a little bit better than some other companies have in the past from my experience, and it's great. Also, what I've noticed that's great as well. I've noticed that plenty of people have been stopping by in the Magic area to learn about Magic
well. Oh, yeah, that too.
Like, Magic kids are there. They're teaching new people how to play Magic. I was scrolling on Twitter this morning and saw, like, a VTuber was actually tweeting out how they never played Magic, and they got to learn how to play Magic the other day, and they want to play more, which was awesome to see.
Yeah. I mean, I've been talking to Decker over there, who's one of the representatives with the Magic Kids, and just, you know, getting to hear him talk about how busy they've been all weekend. I've been kind of checking in with him every couple hours, because we're hanging out over at the She Sparks table, at least I have been for the whole week over with ZBEX and company, and just being able to talk to Decker about how many people have been coming through, because they're using Jumpstart Packs. I mean, this is like the perfect application for how to learn how to play Magic: The Gathering, and just hear that they're really running on all cylinders, and they've been busy all freaking day, and all 3 days is been amazing. And I really like hearing that, you know, there's an opportunity where you may not necessarily have that at regular Magic Fest or a Command Fest, where it's in a way there may be a slight barrier to entry for someone who's just new, getting started, who doesn't really know how to play Magic, or, you know, they may not even show up. And I think coming here, especially since we're the small kids on the block, I suppose. Like, we're new here.
Yeah.
And to be able to try to get some of the other gamers from the other communities maybe interested in trying out Magic is definitely a nice little boon for us, especially with, like, the bring-your-own-cable people. It's like they're getting everywhere, honestly. They're not just playing their own LAN games. They're getting everywhere and really just, you know, percolating throughout the group, really kind of seeing what else is out there. And it's nice that we as Magic players, obviously we're players, you know, Wizards is the company, mm-hmm. but it's nice to see that we as the players are getting some nice exposure, I suppose, to the greater gaming community just by existing in the space, same space mm-hmm. as them.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Also, speaking of Magic Kids, if you ever see them at a big event, and if you or any event, and if you have a bulk amount of cards that you're just gonna toss in the trash, go gift it to them. I learned about this recently. They use it and make like decks and bring them to teach children like at like some hospitals and whatnot how to play Magic.
Yeah, I wish I held on to my bulk for today. Unfortunately, I packed it away for traveling. But otherwise, yeah, I definitely would have. Donated that to them because I know mm-hmm. that they could use a lot of the like the commons and chaff stuff normally that we wouldn't use, but again, it's great stuff for learning Magic because it's super simple to understand. It's not really like what we normally play with in EDH where we have like a trigger. It's just, you know, it's very simple Magic. It's, you know, it's meant for limited play, and then mm-hmm. That's really the best way to be able to get into it, you know, especially since they don't do the welcome decks anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jumpstart's a really nice, I don't want to say proxy, but a nice replacement for the old welcome decks because it gives you that nice theme that the other decks really never had.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just been an awesome experience here, and I'm glad everyone out there has been sticking with us throughout this whole thing because, again, I hope that everyone out there is feeling a little jealous that... we got to do this because it's been a really fun time. Hopefully everyone out there who's been following me on Twitter has been able to see all the pictures with like me meeting Jake yesterday or just hanging out at different parts of the con. It's been awesome. And yeah, I think this is probably a good point to wrap it up because you probably have places you need to be. So yeah, just quickly give another shout out to all the streaming stuff you do there, Jaffer.
Sure. And again, thank you for having me on here. It's been a blast.
Yeah, no problem.
So if anybody is interested, you can catch me on Twitch. I live like 5 days a week at twitch.tv/Jaffer. YouTube is JafferMTG. Twitter is JafferMTG as well. I do a lot of arena content. Occasionally, I might do Commander content on like somebody else's channel. It's been a blast here. It's been a blast meeting people. Thank you for having me on here. It's been great.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. It's my pleasure to be able to have people on here. So it's awesome. Anyway, if you liked what you heard here today or you want to hear any more of the DreamHack content that I've been doing here recently, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets as your Googles, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Overcast, and a million others. I never remember all of them. At least I got 8 this time. That's pretty good without my list. Seriously, that is really good. You can also find me on the Twitter at MTJQuarantine. If you find the happy looking Uomaga, I'm not sure if Uomaga ever looks happy, but whatever. Wearing a pair of headphones, you found the right place. I'd like to utilize this opportunity to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTJQuarantine. Huge thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, Geek Beerly, and Scoop Base for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGQuarantine for more information. And again, you can go find your own MTG in Quarantine brand playmat over at Inked Gaming, that's inketgaming.com. Check that out in the link tree below. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody, and signing off from DreamHack Dallas 2022.